Dear Father, surrendering our own hearts before you, we know that putting them into your hands, that they are safe and made whole. So we ask that you would please forgive us, cleanse us, and draw us near to you and to your throne. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a psalm that speaks of the overwhelming peace that comes to a human heart as it draws near to the Lord in the courts of the Lord. Of course, the psalmist is speaking about the Temple Mount in Jerusalem at the time, but it also looked forward, looking beyond it to the eternal substance of the New Jerusalem. I'd like you to read that psalm with me. It's in our responsive readings in your hymnal, number 698. 698. And if you would join me in reading the bold print, we'll do it together. 698, and it is taken from the 84th Psalm. How lovely is thy dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yea, faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at thy altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in thy house, ever singing thy praise. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. He bestows favor and honor. No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in thee. To be an attendant in these courts, in this life, is a great honor. In Isaiah 21 is a passage that addresses it. In Isaiah 21, starting in verse 6, it says, "For thus has the Lord said to me, go set a watchman. Let him declare what he sees." And he continues, "Let him be alert, fully alert." And the watchman shouted, "Day after day, my Lord, I stand on the watchtower. Every night I stay at my post." Don't you just love it? It's easy to be drawn to that faithful steadiness of the careful watchman. "Day after day, my Lord, I stand." In Christ's service, many are called to this position. The Lord told Ezekiel, "I have set you as a watchman over the house of Israel," in Ezekiel 33. And Jesus, speaking to all of his disciples on the side of Olivet, commissioned them in a very similar manner. In Matthew 24, verse 42, he said, "Therefore, keep watch." Be a watchman. "Keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come." There's a story in 2 Chronicles that highlights the special relationship of every head of household as a watchman in the Lord's service. That every head of household has a special commission as a watchman in the Lord's service. Now, most days are very similar to the day that comes before it. We do not usually know when an event that will change lives will occur. September 11th, 2001 began just the same as 2010. 2001. The biggest, most devastating events are typically the ones that take us by surprise. So a trustworthy watchman who can detect an approaching event and give warning of it to his people has always been a valued member of any community. And in the Christian community, we especially value those who look out for our benefit, who see through the Lord's eye, perceiving the spiritual realities that are around us and call out the threats as well as the good tidings. In 2 Chronicles 23, as I said, it illustrates how in times of danger, the heads of households would be called up to take shifts, providing an extra guard on the walls of Zion. In this particular story, in 2 Chronicles 23, Joash, the boy prince, has been hidden for 6 years by the high priest Jehoiada and his wife. The boy was being hidden away from his own grandmother, the evil queen Athaliah. Maybe you remember the story, Athaliah. When she got word that her son, the king, had been killed, very quickly went out and murdered all of his heirs, her own grandchildren, so that she herself could take the throne and rule in Judah. But the high priest's wife took the king's youngest child, a baby boy named Joash, and hid him away from the queen's reach. Now, 6 years later, the high priest has carefully, discreetly spoken to the commanders of the army, to the leading men in Judah, and they have covertly called in all the heads of the families of Judah to come to Jerusalem to protect and to crown the new king, and then eventually, of course, to overthrow the wicked queen. Would you like to read it with me there? Second Chronicles comes right after Kings. 2 Chronicles chapter 23, I'll begin with verse 2. It says, they went throughout Judah and gathered the Levites and the heads of the Israelite families from all the towns. That's the head of households from all the towns in Judah. When they came to Jerusalem, the whole assembly made a covenant with the king at the temple of God. Jehoiada said to them, the king's son shall reign, as the Lord promised concerning his descendants, the descendants of David. Now this is what you are to do. A third of you priests and Levites who are going on duty on the Sabbath are to keep watch at the doors. A third of you at the royal palace and a third at the foundation gate. And all the other men are to be in the courtyards. That's the heads of the families, the other men. Are to be in the courtyards of the temple of the Lord. No one is to enter the temple of the Lord except the priests and Levites on duty. They may enter because they are consecrated. But all the other men are to guard what the Lord has assigned to them. The Levites are to station themselves around the king, each man with his weapons in his hand. Anyone who enters the temple must be put to death. Stay close to the king wherever he goes. Now, that was the New International Version. The King James captures a point here that is kind of passed over in the NIV for verse 6. It says this in the King James Version for verse 6. It says, but let none come into the house of the Lord save the priests, and they that minister of the Levites, they shall go in, for they are holy. But all the people, that's the heads of the households, all the people shall keep the watch of the Lord. It says there literally in the Hebrew, the heads of the households, Israel's households, shall, quote, keep the watch of Yahweh. Keep the watch of Yahweh. The men of Judah, each one was especially commissioned by Yahweh as a king and temple protector. A knight in the service of the king, a watchman of Yahweh. This role is not diminished today in spiritual Israel. The head of a Christian household, whether it be a man or a woman, married or single, holds the same spiritual role and responsibility to Christ our King and to his church. Pro Deo et Regi. Why just the head of a household? Why not everybody? Well, the Lord works efficiently and he avoids unnecessary redundancies. The other members of the household each have their own commissions and responsibilities before God. So that way the whole of God's work can move forward at once. If you are single, Or if you are a single parent, then your responsibilities are doubled. I know that that can be very, very hard. You have to be the household's warrior and its nurturer all the time and all in one person. It is much easier to cover all of these bases when there are two leading in the home, or if you have maybe a grandparent thrown in or two, or some older children. Well, then even more can be done for the cause of Christ. But let me give you this warning. It is a warning for churches with faithful ministers, as well as for households that are led by a devout soul. It comes to us in volume 5 of the Testimonies for the Church, page 294. It is just one sentence. Volume 5, page 294. It says, the worst enemies we have. It's one sentence, but it's a big sentence. The worst enemies we have are those who are trying to destroy the influence of the watchman upon the walls of Zion. Those who would diminish the role of the watchman in the church or in the home are the worst enemies we have, and destruction follows them. To hold this position is a sacred calling and a heavy responsibility. God's speaking to Ezekiel in Ezekiel 33. Sorry. Ezekiel 33, beginning of verse 7. Said, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not speak out to dissuade him from his ways, that wicked man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the wicked to turn from his ways, and he does not do so, he will die for his sin, but you will have saved yourself. Some of you will remember Corey Ten Boom. Corey, which is short for Cornelia, was born in the Netherlands in 1892. As a little Dutch girl, she was raised in a very devout Christian home. She never married. She never married. And so when the Nazis invaded Holland in 1940, she was 48 years old. And she was living in the house that she'd been born in, living there with her widowed father. The mother died in the 1920s. After the war, she wrote a book that was internationally popular. It was called The Hiding Place. In it, she told the story of how her family had regarded the Jewish people as God's people. And when one of their Jewish neighbors came to them one evening, begging that they be hidden in their house from the Nazis, the father told this neighbor, in this household, God's people are always welcome. And so they began hiding Jews in their home and working with the underground to help smuggle them out of the country. And upstairs, in the highest room in the house, which was Corey's room, they built a hiding place behind the wall in her closet. Difficult to get into. In case the Gestapo came on a raid, the Jewish people could run up there and have time to hide before they could get in the house. The family, the Ten Boom family, decided with their Jewish guests inside their house, what they would do is that they would eat kosher food, the whole family. And that the whole family, Christians and Jews, would keep the seventh-day Sabbath as a day holy to the Lord. 4 years later, in 1944, one of their Dutch neighbors betrayed the Ten Boom family to the Gestapo for, like Judas, just a small pittance. But the family was betrayed. And the Gestapo came in a raid. The Jewish people who were in the house ran up and hid in the hiding place. The Ten Boom family was arrested, but the Jewish people were never discovered in that little hiding place. It had been done so well. They were never found or arrested, but the Ten Boom family was taken away. And because they'd been sheltering Jews, they got the Jews' fate and they were thrown into concentration camps. And Corey's father, her little brother, her older sister, all died in those camps. But she survived. And eventually moved here to California, to Placencia, not too far from us, when she passed away in 1983. Immediately after the war, she stayed there in Europe, and she, as the head of her own household, worked in resettling Jewish refugees. And on one occasion, she visited some of these refugees in a hospital for polio victims. I'd like to read you a little excerpt from her book. She said, "Then I came to a man on a rocking bed. He had a different kind of polio, and instead of being in an iron lung, he was on a bed that rocked up and down. When his head was up, he could breathe, and when his head went down, he breathed out. The nurse told me he was Jewish. Ah, I said, I am happy to meet one of God's chosen people. My old father, my dear sister, and some others in my family died in concentration camps because we loved the Jews. I, too, was in prison for helping Jews. But tell me, do you know the Jew Jesus as your personal Messiah?" The bed rocked up and down, and he shook his head, for he could not speak. He had a long tube in his nose and could only move one hand slightly to write tiny notes. "Then is it all right if I tell you about him?" I asked. He picked up his stubby pencil and he scribbled on a small notebook on the side of the moving bed, "I am ready to listen." I stayed beside that rocking bed and told my Jewish friend about the great Messiah, the one whom the prophet called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I finished speaking, and from my bag I took a small embroidery. On one side was stitched a beautiful crown. The other side was quite mixed up. "When I see you on this bed," I said, not speaking, not moving, "I think of this embroidery." I held up the back side of the embroidery. "Your life is like this. See how dark it is. See how the threads are knotted and tangled and mixed up. But when you turn it around, then you can see that God is actually weaving a crown for your life. God has a plan for your life, and he is working it out in beauty." He picked up his pencil, and he wrote again. He wrote, "Thanks, God, I am already seeing the beautiful side." What a miracle. He understood God did not want him to become a Gentile. Rather, he would become a completed Jew. I prayed and thanked the Lord with him. Then it was time to go, and Dr. Shepherd once again took me to her beautiful home. The next day, I returned to the polio ward and asked the nurse if I could speak with my Jewish friend. "I'm sorry," she said, "but your Jewish friend on the rocking bed is no longer with us." Just 5 minutes after you left, he beckoned me to come to his side. There was a wonderful light shining in his eyes, and he wrote on this little piece of paper, "For the first time, I prayed in Jesus' name." Then he closed his eyes and died. God bless the watchmen on the walls of Zion and all the Christians who wait with oil in their lamps, watching for the Lord's return, whoever they be. And God bless us. God bless us that we may be safely delivered to see that day that Jesus declared surely will come. As he said in Matthew 24, verses 30 and 31, "At that time the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call. And they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other." Today I'd like to invite you to stand with me. We're going to sing a closing hymn, number 301. the hymn Nearer, Still Nearer.